Wow. Isn't God just so good? Like this morning is just some of the songs that we've been singing, some of these words that we've been hearing during communion, all of this stuff just totally dovetails into what God put on my heart. And I think it was Friday, I was sitting there and I was like, okay, Lord, you've given me this to talk about and this to talk about. You need to help me out because it's Friday. And yeah, and there's a lot happening. And that night we were having an 18th birthday party, and then the next day was the giveaway day, and you know, that's a lot of stuff going on, but God is good. And it was just a matter of, like Pastor Jenna said, sometimes we've got to calm our soul and just sit down and let God work through some stuff. And so I was able to draw out what God wanted to share with us this morning, well, I believe. So my title this morning is Out of Egypt. And I would just find my notes properly. There's a lot of stuff. Hope you like scripture, because I'm reading a whole chapter. Faith comes from by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we're going to hear as well as consume, as well as be a part of, and hopefully at the end of this, we'll be on our journey completely out of Egypt. So I just want to do a recap of Exodus. So Exodus, the Israelites, when they went into Egypt, they were free. Over the course of time, Joseph and the other disciples, the other Israelites who were head of the 12 tribes, they had passed away, and there was a new ruler in Egypt. And he did not know Joseph. And during that time, the Egyptian rule was quite fierce and did not like the fact that Israel or the Israelites were growing in numbers. Did not like the fact that they were powerful enough to overrun the whole entire Egyptian empire, if you would call it that. So this new pharaoh, he forced them into hard labor and commanded that all their baby boys be killed because he wanted to stop the growing or the multiplication of Israelites in Egypt. Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, as most of you will know, in the river, and chose to raise him as her own son. Further on, Moses kills an Egyptian taskmaster, I suppose you call them, and freaks out and flees and ditches and goes out to Midian. And while out there, he gets married, life is great, and then God goes, boom, here I am. I got work for you. We got stuff to do. Don't think that because you're out here, the plan that I had for you back in Egypt is over. So God wakes up Moses and says, I am who I am, and I've got plans for you. You need to go back to your people in Israel because we're about to leave Egypt. We've got stuff to do. I've got plans for my people. It's time for us now to enter into the promised land that I told Abraham about. So all of this stuff is happening. Of course, Moses and Aaron, they go to Pharaoh. They say, let my people go. And Pharaoh is stubborn and says, nope, you guys are working for me. It's good for us. You can stay. So we see a lot of trials and tribulations happen to the Egyptian people. And we see all the plagues and things like that happen. And God's hand moves mightily and displays his power over Egypt. And yet, Pharaoh is still stubborn and hard of heart. So, we get to the last plague that happens. And this is the plague where we know what the Israelites celebrate, or Jewish people celebrate today, is the Passover, where God sends a dark, or the spirit of death over all of the Egyptian families and all the firstborns, sons and livestock die. And so here we come in. At this stage, they're just about to leave Egypt, and finally Pharaoh lets them go. Finally, he says, it's time, I've had enough of this, get this curse out of my land. Very superficially repentant, probably, would be the best way to describe it, because he wasn't really repentant. He was just like, oh, this is really bad for me. My son has died. My whole entire city, country, whatever, is in ruins because of you Israelites. Just go. And so we see the Israelites leave. They consecrate their firstborn sons to God as they're out in the wilderness. And then we see the Pharaoh decide that he's not quite happy with the decision he originally made. And all of his officials agree, what are we doing? Why did we let these Israelites go? Why? They were good serving us. It was good for our benefit. And so they start to go out and pursue them. So we see that the Israelites have left Egypt. Technically, they're no longer captive. They've technically been given the all clear, you're free to go. But they're still not yet completely free. And I think if we look at where you and I are at, if you're walking with the Lord and you know Jesus is Lord and Saviour, sometimes we're out of our Egypt, but we're still not completely free. And this is kind of where I'm going today. Not just out of Egypt, but free indeed. Completely free. We can be saved. We can be set free from some things, but there are other things that are binding us. And if you haven't quite left Egypt yet, guess what? Today's your day. You can leave Egypt anytime. You can come out of that slavery. You can come out of that captivity. And this is what Jesus did for us upon that cross. He gave us that way to come out of captivity. Although we're not in a physical land and we're coming out of a physical captivity, we're coming out of spiritual captivity to sin and brokenness and death. And Christ has given us that opportunity to step into life and freedom. And so this morning we're going to walk through Exodus chapter 14. And it will be up there on the screen. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-hahiroth. That will, apologies, I did not take Egyptian lessons. Between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Siphon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. And he said, and he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all other chariots of Egypt, with officers over them. So this is not just 600 chariots. This is 600 of the best chariots, and then all of the others. I don't know why it's emphasized that the best chariots were taken out too, but all of the others were as well. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-hahiroth. opposite Baal Zephon. I can see you laughing at me. That's all right. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on the dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud and at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Duh. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back into its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Amen. Amen. So what am I going to draw out of all of that? Well, it's like this. If we're wanting to step into freedom, we are going to have opposition. It doesn't matter what kind of freedom you're about to step into, there will be some kind of opposition. How many times has somebody kind of scoffed at your remark about being free from energy drinks? And I'm smiling because I've gone like, how many days? It's like almost 3 weeks, people. And if you know me, you know I like sugary caffeinated drinks. I don't like Coca-Cola because that does horrible things to me, but I have had this very strong relationship with V-Pure And although it is more natural, it still contains loads of sugar and loads of caffeine, which is neither good for me. But when I told people, really? Was it, you know, like, really? Did you really? And in some way, that's in opposition to the freedom that I was stepping into. But in saying that, it was also confirmation that I was going in the right direction. And I knew that for me, it was a conviction that God had given me personally, and it really didn't matter what anybody else was going to say anyway, because I'm stubborn like that. Yeah. So how many times have you said to someone, like, it might be, oh, I'm giving up smoking, or I'm going to stop scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and the opposition you get is, you can't do that. You can't do that. And we don't always, opposition isn't always in front of you, stopping you from going in that direction. Sometimes the opposition that we get is internal, and it's in the camp. And it's, oh, you can't do that. There's no way you're going to be able to do that. You know, no way you're going to be able to stop drinking energy drinks. No way you're going to be able to stop smoking. No way you're going to be able to stop gambling or drinking or whatever it is. But if you and I know, if God can take us out of Egypt and set us free from captivity, he can set us free from any bondage. And he can completely restore us and bring us into wholeness. Because he's a mighty God. I mean, he just displayed his amazing power by all of these plagues that he sent throughout Egypt. And how crazy is it to think in the natural, okay, so the spirit of death swept over the whole land of Egypt and none of the Israelites' children died and none of their livestock died? Well, what makes them so special? Do they have really awesome immunization plans that we don't know about? Is there a healthcare system that's just super amazing? No. It is just an awesome and mighty God who has a plan and a purpose for his people. I mean, it's not even a just. It is an awesome and mighty God who has a plan and a purpose for his people. And so we just saw this amazing power of God sweep through Egypt. And where was I going next? So you will have opposition. And what we see from verses 5 to 7 is we see that the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled. And so he gathered his officials. He gathered all of the armies. He gathered his horsemen. He gathered his troops. And he went out and he set to go and take them back because he was opposed. And actually the whole way through this whole entire chapter, he's opposed to the Israelites being free. Can I make a side note? There is not one point where Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says, can you please set my people free? The point, he says, when he brings his request to Pharaoh is, can you let my people go so that we can worship the Lord our God? And I don't know about you, but I got this kind of a revelation for me that our freedom is equivalent to our worship as a lifestyle in God. No, I'm not just talking about singing on the platform or singing in the church, raising our hands or whatever. I'm talking about a lifestyle of worship. Because God wants us to be in that kind of a relationship with him where our life is worship. And that is our freedom. That's our true freedom. See, he didn't ask, oh, set my people free. Let them go from slavery. That's not what Moses asked. He said, let my people go so they may worship the Lord their God. Anyway, that's a complete side thing. So if you have opposition and you are stepping into your freedom, whether it's freedom from an addiction, whether it's freedom from a state of mind, whether it's freedom from the past, whether it's freedom from, it doesn't really matter, just anything that keeps you in bondage, you'll face that opposition that keeps pushing you back. It might be your thoughts, it might be your feelings, it might be the people around you. But also, the more you step into that freedom, the more the enemy will pursue you in that chase. So you will be pursued. Doesn't matter what freedom you're stepping into, you will be pursued. The enemy will try and stop you from getting to where you are going, wherever God is calling you to. The enemy does not like God's plans being put into place, and he will pursue you in a way that you know, oh, man, this is just another, you'll know it, whatever it is, this is just another attack. Sometimes you'll feel like you're being chased every time you're trying to get away from whatever it is, whether it's fear. That's a freedom some people haven't stepped out of. I mean, no, that's a bondage people haven't stepped out of, is fear. Fear will chase you. It'll wrap itself around you. It'll pursue you and keep you locked where you are. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that he pursued the Israelites. When we're stepping into a freedom, we're going to be pursued. We will be pursued. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching around them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was this because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Leave us alone. Let us serve Egyptians. It would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." You will doubt. If you're wanting to get out of your Egypt, out of your captivity, and to be completely set free, you are going to have some doubts. There are some things like this that will just weigh on your mind. Oh, it was better back there. We knew what was going on there, even though we hated it and it was horrible and we were in chains or we were bound to slavery. We knew what was happening. We didn't have to trust God for the unknown that we're going to step into. We didn't have to think about what was going to happen tomorrow because we knew what was going to happen tomorrow. We'd be slaving away. And sometimes our freedoms aren't as comfortable as our bondage. And so we just doubt things. Oh, you know, maybe that's not really God's plan because it's not so comfortable for us. So we'll just put that to the side. And we don't, when we doubt, we actually don't put trust in God. We don't. We're like, oh, you know, maybe that's really not you. Or maybe that's really not your will. Or maybe that's really not your purpose. Or maybe my leaders are insane, taking me out of this comfy place that I'm enslaved in and putting me out in a desert where I have no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing. But you will have some doubts. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." And that happened. "And the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." So you will have opposition. You will be pursued. You will doubt. But what you have what you need. When God sent the Israelites out of Egypt, he actually provided them with everything that they needed. He told them to go to the Egyptians, ask them for gold, ask them for clothes, and God gave them favor, and they gave their gold, they gave their clothes. They had unleavened bread, they had food prepared. God had already provided for them. He had told them and prepared them in advance, "Do these things, because this day is coming. Do these things, get this ready, get this food ready, do these things." And so when the day came that they had to flee Egypt, God had already provided for them everything that they need. And Moses had what he needed in his hand. God had already given him a staff which he had already used to demonstrate God's power throughout the time that he was in Egypt. And God just said to him, duh, like it's right there in front of you. Why are you crying out to me? It's in your hand. You have what you need to get free. And it's the same for each and every one of us. Whether our freedom is something that is, all we need is a Bible and God's word and the Holy Spirit with that. And we can step into our freedom. See, we have what we need. If our issue of freedom is that our thoughts are bound or we're dealing with some heavy issues, then we need to take our thoughts into captivity with Christ and make them obedient to him. That's what the word says. You know, there's so many things that we have in our hand that God has given us to facilitate whatever it is that we need to step into for our freedom. Whatever part of you that is bound, whatever part of you is locked up, we have it. It is in your hand. You have what you need. Just as Moses had his staff, you and I, we have that too. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea all that night. The Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their left and their right. The Egyptians pursued them, and during the last watch, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. Eventually, the Egyptian said, let us get away from these Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Yeah. The next point is, God is with you. You have what you need, and God is with you. He did not stay camping back in Egypt when he set you free. He came with you. He goes before you. He goes behind you. And he is providing the pathway for you to walk on. If we want to step truly into our freedom, we've got to start acknowledging our God. And not just sometimes. And that means we need to get vulnerable. We need to get vulnerable with him. Not that he doesn't already know every single thing about you, even the stuff you try and hide from him. Even the stuff you don't even know you have. But if we get vulnerable with God and we realize that he is totally for us, then we don't have any problem stepping into freedom. There's nothing holding you back. I mean, he's before you and behind you. And he's lighting the way. And he's the power in the parted sea. He is the pathway through the impossible. He is with us. He's not just sitting on his throne, tapping his fingers, going, oh, I wonder when they'll get it. He's walking it with us. And I don't know what stuff people are dealing with, but I just really felt this morning that we need to be set free from some things. God is with you. And so Moses stretched out his hand over the seas, the waters flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. And all of them were covered by water, and not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Whatever step you are in walking into your freedom, you are not alone. The Israelites didn't go, oh, I'll wait for you on the other side and rush ahead. They actually all went together. Not one of them said, oh, I'll stay behind. Well, actually, we don't know that, but it doesn't say that anybody stayed behind. But they all went together. They're all on the journey together. Wherever you are in your walk, you're not alone. This is the community of God where people are on the journey together. And if you want to step into freedom, sometimes you're going to have to invite other people to get in the boat with you. Because we can't always do everything just us and God. I mean, we've got God before us, we've got God behind us, we've got his word that guides us, and the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we need community. And community can share things and do things, and, you know, every single one of us in this building have a different gift. We have a different talent. There's things in our lives that our brothers and sisters alongside us right here, we need that. Not for our selfishness, but for each other, for us to all grow, for us to all step out of our bondage and into our freedom. So they were captive, but they weren't completely free. And even after this, they weren't completely free because there was stuff that was going on in the wilderness that they still needed to get out of their system. But you're not alone. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. When we start stepping out of our Egypt and we start recognizing that there's an opposition, when we start recognizing that that opposition is going to pursue us, when we're trying to gain our freedom, when we see that that we might doubt things, and we just remember that, so we can put our lines back, our thoughts back in line with what God is saying and what his plan and purpose is for us. Then we realize that we have what we need. It's right inside us. God has put it in us that he is with us on the journey. And he goes before us and behind us. And we are not alone because we have this amazing community of people around us to do the journey with us. And at the end, church, we will have the victory. We will have the victory. Our freedom, we will have it. We will have it officially when we enter into the kingdom of heaven, when we're no longer on this earth or no longer in our earthly bodies or whatever way God does it. When we are no longer here as you and I on earth in this fleshly place, that's when we officially step into our true freedom. But we can have freedom now here on earth from stuff. Wherever you are in your walk today, there are things that some of us are bound in. And God wants us to get free today. God wants us to be completely free. He wants to break the shackles off. He wants to release the people of God from our bondage, from whatever it is that is holding you back. If you are still in Egypt and you don't know Jesus yet, and you're ready to step out, well, today might be your day. If you are already on the journey and you've left Egypt, you're no longer in captivity, and you've said yes to Jesus and you're following him, well, guess what? There's more freedom. There is more freedom for us to step into this morning. Some of you don't even know you're bound. Some of you are comfortable in your bondage. And I might get the team to come up. Some of you are clothed with grave clothes, and the dead things of your past are still on you. Even though you have received life, it's like a stench, but you may not even recognize it. It's time to be released. It's time to not just step out of Egypt, but start walking into the promised land. It's time not to wait around for 40 years in the wilderness. It's time now. Some of you might be stuck in thoughts of how it should be, or things that you know because that's what you were taught. Well, it's time to unlearn some things, and it's time to learn something new. Some of you think that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, that is not truth. I have an almighty God who can teach anybody anything. He can restore anybody from anything, even the dead to life. And if my mighty God can do that, then he can teach any old dog new tricks. He is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. He has a plan and a purpose for our life. If you know the narrative of God's story, you know how it ends. Do you want to end in victory on this earth, or do you want to wait till you get to heaven? Well, I don't know about you, but I ain't waiting all that time if I can step into some freedom now. Some of you just need to do something. There's something that is holding you back, and that's what's bound you. Some of you are sitting on something that God has called you to do, and you just haven't done it yet. Some of us, it's a bondage which is just disobedience. Not because you want to be disobedient, but maybe you're fearful. Maybe something's anchoring you in fear that you don't know how to step into your freedom. Some of you might just like where you're at. You might like being in the place that you're at because it's comfortable. Well, it was comfortable in Egypt where they were slaves, but God had a better plan. God's got a best for you and I. God's got a better for you and I. This morning, you may have your mouth bound. You may have your mouth bound, and God has put words in you. Maybe it's a word of knowledge. Maybe it's a prophetic word. Maybe it's a word of wisdom. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's a vision. Maybe you have the gift of interpretation of tongues, and you've never exercised that. Well, it's time to rip it off. It's time to step into freedom. It is time to break the shackles off of our wrists that are holding us back. You know, if God's called you to serve and you're feeling bound because, all these excuses, all these things in the background, I haven't got enough time. Well, guess what? Neither do I. Neither do I. But you know what? There's 24 hours in a day. And I think I used maybe 21 of them yesterday. Maybe you're being held back and there's a shackle on your foot and you can't go anywhere. You can't walk to the places God's calling you to walk to. God's called you to step into a place. Maybe you're called to be an evangelist. Maybe you're called to speak the gospel to people and you're just like stuck here bound in chains. Yes, amen. And maybe you're just bound. Maybe you are just bound by something. I don't know what it is. It could be anything. But this morning, I'm believing that God is going to set you free from whatever imprisonment it is that you are standing in. I really got a sense that God wants to break open the prison doors. God wants to break the shackles. God wants to break the chains. God wants to release you from whatever it is that is keeping you shut up, bound, shackled, whatever it is. Today is the day, church. It is time. This stuff God wants to do, and he wants to do it now. And you might feel uncomfortable. That's okay. I'm pretty sure it was uncomfortable being a slave in Egypt. But sometimes it's even more uncomfortable to trust in an unknown situation with a God that's big and mighty, and we don't know where we're going. But it's time. It's time to step out of our Egypt completely and step into our freedom. You have the victory. The victory's already won. We just have to start doing things to step into that. So we're going to go into a song, and I think we're going to go into some ministry time. Because we need to break some bondages. We need to pull down some strongholds. We need to push through whatever desert that we're walking through. We need to walk through that sea that's parted. Everything is laid out. It's ready for us. And if you want to come out of Egypt because you're still there and you want to know a loving and mighty Savior, then we can do that too. We can do that too. And guess what? We're with you. Amen.